Our next presenter is going to talk about some of the successes and challenges from the Kalosha side in doing education and outreach and enforcement of the standard. Malia Neidhart has been working for the Division of Occupational Safety and Health here in California, DOSH, and our Kalosha program for 15 years. The first 9 years she served as a Kalosha enforcement inspector, conducting and assisting with workplace inspections and accident investigations in various industries. These past 6 years, Amalia has been with the DOSH Research and Standards Health Unit, supporting Kalosha enforcement inspectors with technical expertise, conducting staff development training, and completing the Kalosha heat illness studies. So, Amalia.
Thanks, Kevin. So good afternoon, everyone. My objective today is to talk primarily about the Kalosha heat illness standards, some of the success and challenges that we have had in regards to enforcement, and I will give you a quick update in regards of the outreach. So the first thing is, I'm glad that Dr. Harrison brought up a little bit about the Kalosha heat illness study. So as you heard earlier, California was the first state in the nation to have the heat illness regulation. But during 2005, when the emergency regulation went into effect, the Standards Board requested that the division conduct a study on the heat illness cases. So Dr. Harrison was talking about workers' comp data. So from Kalosha perspective, of all the Kalosha investigations, where there were either complaints or accidents, right, where we had medical confirmation of a heat illness, whether it was fatal or non-fatal, those cases were included in this study. In this study, what we did is we looked at the reports from the inspectors. We got the inspectors to fill out a questionnaire with several questions, and then also our medical unit reviewed the medical information from these illnesses. The first thing I want to show you, and I'm using 2006 data because this is one of the studies that everybody can get from our website. The first thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is agriculture is not the only industry where workers, outdoor workers, right, are affected by heat illness. You'll see agriculture and construction as well, but it's also present in landscape, in service. Think of service as, for instance, firefighters that are helping out with a wildfire. There's also in retail. There's a lot of retail operations that are outdoors. And then we have forestry. So back in 2006, we were including, remember the emergency regulation went in effect in 2005, and back in 2006, we were including all heat illness cases. The first thing that I wanted to bring to your attention also in regards to these industries is the other study that, or part of the study, one of the things that we saw is what Dr. Harrison was mentioned. I'm talking about the 2006 heat wave. Here I'm going to spend a couple of minutes. What the 2006 study, and I use this all the time, what really brought to our attention is the impact of a heat wave in all outdoor workers. In 2006, the entire state of California, the entire state, not just the certain areas, was affected by an 11-day heat wave. Number one, we all thought that once the heat wave kicked in, right, that workers were going to be immediately affected on the first or second day with heat illness. But what you see on that chart on the right, on your right, is that you'll notice pretty much the number of cases being reported to Kalosha goes up after the third or fourth, fifth day. So what you showed us is that the heat wave, it was 11 days, right? That heat really, really was tough in the entire state, is that it was having a cumulative effect. So if the workers were lucky to have survived the first or second day, right, they were more seriously at risk as we get into the heat wave. That was the first thing. The other thing that I wanted to tell you is that it showed that it was affecting all workers. There's a lot of workers that they think, I've been working outdoors for years. I will never be affected. And what this study showed, that it didn't matter whether you have been working there 3 years or 10 years, right? When it comes to a heat wave, all of them are at risk. So it's very important that we keep that in mind. The other thing that I wanted to use with this study is I have to tell you, I was one of those people that I always thought heat wave was not an issue, that maybe you were 100 degrees or above. And what we saw in here is that because it affected the entire state, is that in some areas the temperature is not normally, not even 100. But during that heat wave, that temperature can go up. So whether you're in a coastal area, right, that difference is what really matters. So it's not just, don't think of it as just a temperature issue. I mean, like what I tell people is, how many of you with a show of hands check the TV, listen to the radio and know how hot is it going to be today? Right? A lot of us. Right? And then they're telling us, okay, watch out, you know, warning, there's a heat wave coming or there's an increase in temperature. Those are the things that we need to be keeping an eye on. The other thing is that this study, what we've been looking, CalSHA has been doing these evaluations on these cases, the medically confirmed cases. What we saw is that if you look at new employees, right, it's not just the first day where this worker is at risk, right? If you see most of our percentages, it could occur anywhere between the first 4 days or anywhere between the first 5 or 7 days. And what I'm using this is to introduce, in 2010, the division updated the regulation. Modifications went into effect. And what they did in 2010, you know, some of the changes that occurred is that now there are 5 industries that have additional requirements. These industries are construction, agriculture, transportation, landscape, and oil and gas extraction. So what Dr. Harrison initially mentioned, the water, the shade, training, and written procedures, those are the basic requirements that anybody that works outdoors, right, has to have. But these 5 industries need additional requirements. And one of the additional requirements is that they supervise new employees. The other thing is, this is another thing I'm reiterating what Dr. Harrison mentioned, is that the study was showing that in most of the cases, water was present at the site. From our perspective, that is not enough, right? You need to make sure that the workers are being encouraged to drink water, because what the study of those illnesses show is that there was medical evidence in all of them, 100% of these cases, of dehydration. So that's why the regulation requires that the workers be frequently reminded to drink water often. You know, sometimes because of the challenges, whether there is piece rate, the workers could be in construction and landscape, they're constantly moving, not just in agriculture, they're not stopping to drink water, right? And it's important that they're constantly drinking water. So those are the things that primarily I wanted to talk about in regards to the study because of the limited time that we have. Now I'm going to associate some of the things that we saw in the study with the most common heat citations that we see in employers. Remember, I'm talking about all industries, right? And yes, CalOSHA, DOSH has seen a higher compliance rate, but some of these citations that are being issued also are showing us some of the issues, right? For the first one, the number one citation is employers not having written procedures. And again, this is of the employers, right, that are being cited, right? So you will say, well, written procedures is probably not a big deal. But it is. Because through the written procedures, an employer plans in advance, right? They think in advance to evaluate how they're going to be addressing this. And think about primarily in mobile crews. When people win a contract, whether it's going to be construction, whether it's going to be landscape or agriculture, right? It's not like they don't even know where they're going to be. They know because they won the contract. They know what they're going to be, so they need to plan and tell the workers. You know, as part of the written procedures comes in the importance of emergency procedures, being prepared to give those clear and precise directions to the site. Like the case that Dr. Harrison showed is a lot of these workers, right, are either they use a rutera, what they call, or they're taken in a van to their site. So they do not know their location. And when an emergency happens, they call 911, and then 911 says, where is your location? They can't give it. That's why all of this is very critical. Planning in advance, having that information at your fingerprints. The second citation is employee training. So here what we saw is, again, you know, it's critical that the employees not only know the signs and symptoms, right, of a heat illness, but that they know what to do in the event of an emergency. Yes, question?
If you knew the bike to locate where they
That's an excellent question that you have. I can tell you that what we heard is a lot of counties, if you have your cell phone, they do not have the software to be able to locate you. Unless you call on a landline, right, they won't be able to know. Let's say you call and you faint, they won't be able to know unless you call on a landline. And if you think about construction, landscape, and agriculture, they're constantly moving. If you're talking about GPS, you know, that's why, I mean, those are precious minutes or seconds, the ones trying to locate that. That's why all of this is required that they plan in advance. Do you see what I mean? So when there's something happens, they can give that information immediately to the medical services that are calling. Now, in regards to employee training, what I wanted to point out is this is one of the things that Kyle OSHA saw. There's a variety of languages in regards to these workers. And I'm just going to focus on primarily Hispanics, right, because that's what I see the experience the most. But there's a lot of Hispanic workers not only that do not speak English or Spanish, but they speak other languages. Tiki, Chatino, right? That a lot of these languages is important that you use pictures. So when we saw this part of the study in 2010, right, Cal OSHA came out with a heat campaign, and that's one of the things that they use through the university systems. You'll hear more about them in a minute. They focus on creating these materials to be able to reach out to all languages, right, to be able to create tools to assist with the education. And the other thing that I wanted to point out in regards to training is that a lot of workers, you know, sometimes, you know, I have seen this is the biggest change I've seen. I mean, back in 2006, when we were going around the state training workers, I will ask them, do you know what heat illness is? Do you know the different types? No. Now when we see that, it's like, I love it. People will say, ask me, I know my signs and symptoms, and I'll say, bravo, right? But do you know what to do in an emergency? Do you know how to give your location? Quickly, I'm going to talk about the high heat procedures, which was the change that I mentioned, went into effect in 2010. And primarily, some of the areas that we see here is that it is required that the employees have effective communication. I know there's going to be a lot of situations where the supervisor cannot be on site, and usually the supervisor is the one that carries the cell phone, right? But it's important that if you give that worker, whether it's construction, the electrician, the plumber, a cell phone, that you're actually communicating with them. The other one, that the employees be frequently reminded to drink water often. And some of the things that we see is sometimes they get reminded early in the morning, but not during the day. Access to water. I mean, I'm shocked to see that this is still a citation. People should have water there, period, right? But the problem is, even that there's more awareness, workers know that they need to be drinking water often, the problem is sometimes the water is located where they're there initially, but as the workers are moving, they're not relocating the water. The other thing is that you see the major operations, harvesting time, large crews, water is there. It's the small operations where water can be an issue, like firefighters. I'm going to give you a quick example. While firefighters were fighting this wildfire in Yuba City, I'll never forget it. I mean, they put the water at the top of the hill, and here are the firefighters at the bottom. 20 minutes going uphill if they wanted to go drink water during a fire. Okay, so then some of the challenges I've already been mentioning throughout the presentation, right? Peace rate, for instance, is an issue. There's also lack of acclimatization. And then in agriculture, one of the issues that we see is sometimes the workers change of farm labor contractors often and they do not know it because sometimes they keep the same crew leader and then they see the same crew leader, same number of 17 people, shall we say, that they went and harvest one crop, they go a different one, and when you ask them, who is your employer, they'll tell us, well, we haven't changed. And ends up being that they're already working for an entirely different farm labor contractor. Some of the successes that I quickly want to mention is there is more awareness. There's a higher compliance rate. The division has spent a lot of resources and training for free, a lot of supervisors' performance in a variety of industries. Like, for instance, surface mining is one of the industries that I can tell you. I mean, I was surprised to see them at a training, but we welcome everybody. Also, the division this year hired health educators to the universities to be assistants with a variety of languages. And as a matter of fact, I just wanted to say, you know, the federal OSHA, they copied our heat illness prevention materials, and they won quite a bit of awards. So those are the primary things that I have. That's an example. You'll hear more after me. Do you want me to ask questions? Any questions I have? No? Yeah. That's an excellent question. Yeah, in California, under the Labor Commissioner, everybody's guaranteed a minimum wage. But, you know, I just quickly want to say regarding piece rate, let's say you're in piece rate, if you see the entire crew not slowing down, right, people are very competitive. They're not going to want to slow down to go drink water because they see everybody else moving at that speed. So that's the challenge. I know that during the trainings, and the supervisors and foremans will tell us, we, you know, try to encourage them to slow down. But, you know, these are workers that in the end of the day, they want to bring money to their houses. So like, it's not everybody in agriculture and construction is paid piece rate, but those ones that do, it's very competitive. In that sense, right, they want to keep on going. I wish that we could say, you know, like people, you know, it's easy to communicate, you won't drive your car without oil, right, because you'll overheat. I wish that it would be easier to communicate to workers, right, in order to be able to keep your optimum rate. You want to make sure you drink water often, but it's one of the challenges. Thank you.